basically a little bit about my background, first of all. I'm a teacher and I teach at a school for crippled children at Lakemba, and I've been there for about 4 years, and also I've done a few camps with disabled children as well, so I've sort of got a bit of the teacher side of things, and then I've got a bit of the personal care kind of background as well. I'll just give you my definition of disabled and handicapped first of all. I personally prefer the word disabled, and I think that a lot of disabled people in the community would feel the same. I see the disability as being actually what's wrong with the person or what their sort of physical problem is, whereas handicapped is how you let that affect you. So you could be in a wheelchair and still experience everything in life and do everything that you would have done otherwise, or like to the best of your ability. But I think it becomes a handicap when you think, well, people will stare at me, or I won't be able to do that, that's not easy enough, so you sort of, the disabled person doesn't even bother trying. That's where I see that handicap comes in. So personally, I prefer the word disabled. Could I just get a show of hands as to how many people either have a family member or relative or a friend or a neighbour or someone with a disability that they come in sort of contact with, maybe not on a real close level, but maybe just someone down the street you might say hi to or anything. Am I talking to many people who... Right, okay, fine. Thanks. Basically, I'll be focusing on physical disabilities because that's my sort of more area of expertise. Some of the things that I say will apply only to physical disabilities, but then there might be other things that I say that will cover the full range of disabilities. So I apologise if there were people hoping to sort of hear things about other types of disabilities, but I'll just stick to what I know best. I did a little experiment last night that some of you may have noticed, and I was just doing a little experiment as, for those of you who weren't here, when I arrived last night, I arrived in this wheelchair and spent the evening in the wheelchair. So to people who knew me, obviously, it wasn't that effective, but to people who don't know me, I got some very sympathetic smiles and little glances. What I'm going to do now is just ask Sue and Anita to come up and help me for a moment, and we're just going to do a few little role play sort of things, just very short demonstrations, just to show you the kind of ways that some people react to people with disabilities and the way that they get talked to. Okay.
Oh, hello. And what's her name?
Oh, why don't you ask her?
Oh, okay. What's her name?
Sue.
Oh, and how old is she?
She'll tell you.
How old are
you? I'm 12. I'm nearly 13.
Oh, and does she go to school?
Okay, well, that demonstrates our first thing, that a lot of people never ask the person in the wheelchair or the person with the disability any questions that you would normally ask someone when you first meet them, but they ask the other person with them. Okay, this is our situation number two.
Oh, hello, dear, and aren't you lovely? Oh, and I like a pretty little top. Oh,
oh, how old?
Yeah, oh, isn't she a love? God bless you.
Now, you may well laugh, but when I've taken my class out on excursions, I've had people stop us as we're walking along and talk to, like, children who are around 12, 13, just like you might talk to a little two-year-old, so... That's another one. And the final situation.
Oh, hi, Terry. Hi.
Oh, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you for an hour.
No. Oh, how did Sue go at the doctor's?
Well, she wasn't too bad, actually. It turned out that she had a bladder infection.
Oh, just a bladder. Oh, yeah. Right.
So they gave her some tablets and that's cleared up. But did I tell you? She got her period.
Oh,
the other day.
Oh, her period. How embarrassing.
Look, she is pretty embarrassed about it. So.
Oh, she wouldn't mind. You have my word.
Okay, that was our third one. That's also very true. People often talk behind the back of somebody in a wheelchair so that they have to strain and often disclude them over there out of the conversation, and also don't mind talking about personal details about that person in front of them as though they aren't really taking in what's being said, so they won't really mind about it anyway. If you meet a disabled person for the first time and you're communicating with them, to start with, you'd just go up to talk to them just like you'd go up to talk to anyone else. Now, there'll be things about them that you won't know when you first talk to them. You won't know whether they're able to speak back to you. You also won't know whether they will understand you or not, because there might be, you might be talking to someone who does have an intellectual disability and might be very severely disabled. Then again, it might be someone who only has a physical disability. So when you first talk to them, you'd talk to them just like you'd talk to anyone else, and then you could use a little bit of common sense to assess the situation. You still definitely wouldn't talk to them like you'd talk to a two-year-old, no matter what age they were. You could simplify your words so that they could understand you, but you don't need to talk slowly and smiling sweetly for someone to be able to understand you. If you spoke to someone and asked them a question, like you asked them their name and they didn't answer you, then most disabled people, I don't think, would be offended if you asked them whether or not they were able to speak, if you'd talked to them to start with and they hadn't answered you back. Then hopefully they'd indicate yes or no. You could ask them if they couldn't speak, you could ask them if they had a communication board, because many people carry like a bag on the back of their wheelchair that has some form of board in it that they use to communicate with, and they can point things out on that for you. Some might have a tray top sort of thing on the front of their wheelchair and that has symbols or words on it, and they can point things out to you that way. There might also be some, like I've got a boy in my class who has no speech and he can't nod and shake his head for yes or no responses. So you could also ask him, well, can you show me how you say yes and how you say no, so that when you continue the conversation and ask them some questions, you know what their response to you is going to be. Also, you have to remember to be patient, because non-verbal communication could take a long time for them to point out, especially if they're spelling out words to you, and you have to wait while they slowly spell out all the words, or even somebody with speech. Like I've got a girl in my class who can speak a little bit, but when she does speak, it's very, very slow, and she sort of throws her head back and takes, she might even take up to 30 seconds or a minute to get one word out. But if you sort of pressure her and look really impatient, then it's going to take her longer, and the more she's able to relax, the more quickly she can respond to you. On a personal care side of things, if you are in a situation where perhaps you might have to help someone go to the toilet, or it might be just transferring out of their wheelchair into another chair or something like that, then don't just sort of rush in and do it for them and say, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do that for you. But ask them, you know, are you right? Can you do this, or do you want me to help you? And also ask them if they do want help. We'll say, well, what would you like me to do? Don't say, well, think, well, they want help, so they want me to do everything. But ask them, because some disabled people are very independent, like a lot of us are. I mean, basically, their personalities aren't any different to ours. They just happen to be sitting in a wheelchair. So just ask them, just like you'd ask somebody else who was struggling with their bags, do you want me to take one? You'd ask someone in a wheelchair in the same way if they wanted any help, and then only do it if they wanted you to help. Sometimes that's hard. We have a teacher's aide at school who we have to hold her back when the kids are dressing themselves after swimming, because she just can't bear to see them sitting there struggling and trying to do everything themselves, even though they can. She'd just rather do it for them. So it's very important that you give them their independence, just like you have your independence. Also, if you're talking to a disabled person or to their parents, some people assume that if you've got a disability or if your child has a disability, then that must be the only thing that you want to talk about, that you've got this big interest, so you know, you ask them everything about their disability and how they get here and how they get there. They've got the same interests as the rest of us. So, you know, talk to them about things like work or school or whatever it is, things that you might normally talk to people about when you first meet them. Then when relating to the parents, don't sort of come in like you're an expert and say, oh, I know somebody who's got this disability. Oh, and they did this and this and they found out all these sorts of things and become a real expert. I mean, the parents lived with the child with the disability. They'll know more through their experience than we can ever know by reading books or listening to friends and things like that. And also if you hear about some miracle cure on the television, you sort of don't go up to them and say, oh, well, there's this great cure. If you save up enough money and go to America, you'll be able to walk again. Because we've got a boy at school, in fact, who's had his hopes built up and went away to America for this big operation that was meant to make him better. And when he came back, nobody could tell the difference. But he still thought that he was better and he'd be able to walk soon. So you can really build people's hopes up and then hurt them even more when things turn out to be unfounded by just sort of telling them things that are hearsay. Also, don't judge the parents or preach to them. I'm sure it could be really patronising for someone to come up to you and say, oh, well, don't worry, dear. The Lord wanted to teach you a lesson by giving you a disabled child. I mean, the Lord may well want to, but how does it make you feel when someone who's never been in the position of being disabled themselves or having a child with a disability comes up and says, there, pat you on the head, this is what the Lord wanted. Don't worry about it when you think, well, it's all right for me, I'm not in that situation. Or say to them, look, the Lord's punishing you. Remember what a wild life you had when you were younger. This is a punishment. And there are people who do that and think that people with disabilities are being punished or their parents are being punished. So just they're sort of like really patronising things that you might say to people. And don't avoid the family. Like I know people who have had a child with a disability and their friends don't come round simply because they don't know what to say. And so while it might be all right for them to stay away because they don't know what to say, it really isolates the family, and especially when they're close, might be close friends who don't come around, they don't have that same network of support and you really tear that support down. A friend of mine had a baby who was born with spina bifida, and she said that the worst time for her was when she was still in hospital, because instead of everyone coming round and visiting and bringing flowers and everything, hardly anyone came because they didn't know what to say. And so what should have been a really exciting time, I mean, it was hard enough for her to find out that her baby had spina bifida, but then not even to have anyone to come round so that she could, cry on their shoulder or they could cheer her up or whatever she wanted, it made it even harder for her. If you're going on an outing and you know someone with a disability and you think, oh, well, this is in the bush or there's lots of stairs or something, so they won't be able to cope with this, so we won't ask them. Why not ask them and let them decide, or let the family decide if it's a child, whether that situation will be something that they can cope with? And you'd be surprised at the things that are adapted within the community too. You'd probably be surprised at some of the outings I take my class on. We're going horse riding in a few weeks. We've been 10-pin bowling and they have ramps that you can actually bowl off even with very small hand movements. They set up these ramps and the kids just need to give the ball a bit of a hit so it rolls down off the ramp so that the child's actually doing the bowling themselves and having that bit of independence and having like recreational things like we do. I've also taken my class ice skating in their wheelchairs. So, I mean, there's no end to the things that you can do and what you can get out into the community to do if you where there's a will, there's a way kind of thing. Now, I've had people, like my class, I run the choir at school, not that I'm musical, so don't be fooled, but we're in a music festival and we're the only special school that's in this music festival, and all the other, the teachers from the other schools come and tell me how good it is for our children, it's good that your children are involved like this, it's good for them to get out. And I think, well, it's not only good, I mean, it is good for my kids to get out in the community because they lack so much in experience, but it's good for the community to have them out there too, so the community can get used to relating to the disabled so that it becomes a natural thing and not a forced thing. Something else you could do if there's a neighbour or a friend who has a disabled child, offer to go over a few times and learn how to care for that child if it needs a lot of care. Learn how to dress it, how to toilet it, how to bath it, so that if the parents want to go out somewhere and have a break just like you might, you can offer to babysit for them, because a lot of parents wouldn't leave their child with anyone else because they think, well, nobody can, no one knows how to look after him, or nobody's going to do it as well as I can. But if you go over there a few times, don't force yourself on the family if they really don't want you to come, but I'm sure it's something that not too many people would ever offer to do to help out in that situation. Also, if you're in a group, like if you've got maybe a disabled child comes to your Sunday school or youth group or something, and everyone's sitting around on the floor and they're in their wheelchair and can't get themselves out, ask them if they want to sit on the floor. 9 times out of 10, they want to be just like everyone else and they'd like to be down on the floor, or they'd like to sit on a plain old ordinary chair instead of being in their wheelchair all the time. But don't just force them and say, well, you're sitting here or you're sitting there, because a wheelchair really becomes part of a disabled person and it's sort of their security to a lot of them in a way. So for some people, you might really be taking their security away by taking them out of the wheelchair, but always give them the option and leave that choice up to them and let them know that you want them to feel comfortable, you want them to be part of the group if in that way, if that's what they want to do. Discipline too is another one. In a lot of people make allowances for the poor little boy in the wheelchair or that poor little girl who can't walk properly. They need discipline just like any other child does. They shouldn't be allowed to get away with things. When I take my class to this music festival, they usually sit there and talk when everyone else is being quiet. And before the last practice, I gave them a lecture and I said to them, look, other people make allowances for you. I said, I don't. There's no reason why someone with a physical disability has to talk when everyone else is quiet, or can go to bed whatever time they want to do or whatever, when everyone else is disciplined more firmly. So don't make allowances in that sort of area too. There's a book about that Johnny's written. I think it's called Johnny and Friends, except I left it at home. And she speaks in the book about how to evangelise to the disabled. So they don't have the book in the bookshop, but I really recommend it. If you could get your hands on it somewhere, it'd be a really good book to read. I haven't sort of emphasised anything about like the stages of development, etc., because, I mean, for a disabled person, they're going to be the same as for a non-disabled person. So if you listen very carefully to the other talks, then, I mean, all those things are going to apply to someone with a disability as well. I'd just like to end by reading a poem. This is a poem that I sent to my cousin who recently found out that her baby has cerebral palsy. And so I found that through my work that I'm sort of able to be a witness to my non-Christian cousin as well. And this poem often brings a tear to my eye. It's called The Special Child. A meeting was held quite far from the earth. It is time again for another birth, said the angels to the Lord above. This special child will need much love. His progress may seem very slow, accomplishment he may not show, and he'll require special care from the folks he meets down there. He may not run or laugh or play, his thoughts might seem quite far away. In many ways he may not adapt. In love this child will need to be wrapped. So let's be careful where he's sent. We want his life to be content. Please, Lord, find the parents who will do a special job for you. They will not realise right away the leading role they're asked to play, but with this faith sent from above comes stronger faith and richer love. And soon they'll know the privilege given in caring for this gift from heaven. Their precious charge, so meek and mild, is heaven's very special child.